We'll continue with our reading from Thus Spake Ramana. We're on the teaching number 4. Self-knowledge, in which both relative knowledge and phenomena fall off, is alone true knowledge. Okay, does that sink into everyone? Self-knowledge. Self with a capital S. In which both relative knowledge and phenomena fall off is alone true knowledge. So it has nothing to do with concepts about the phenomenal world, has nothing to do with grasping anything external, has nothing to do with the phenomenal plane at all, because that is entirely in the level of illusion, not of knowledge. So, true knowledge, because the self is the source of all, to know all else except the knower is but ignorance. So, do you know the knower of your ego and of your ego's projected world? That's self-knowledge, not the ego and its knowledge, but the knower of the ego that is not the ego, but is aware of the ego and is able to dissolve the ego so that there is the realization that there was never anything but the self. The self being absolute knowledge, it is neither knowing nor not knowing. So because the absolute is not split between subject and object, you can only know the absolute by being it. It is truly absolute and unchanging, eternal, and without linguistic modification. It is pure presence. So you can't say it's knowing in the sense of thinking, but it's certainly not knowing, because it is the source of consciousness itself, which is the power to know. It can never be nescience, which means ignorance. The self being one and universal, knowledge of diversity is but ignorance, which too is not apart from the self. So the self is the absolute that is the source of all knowledge, is the source even of the ego and of the ego's projected world, which is an appearance within the absolute. And so the absolute dreaming the world must not be caught in the world and become the relative. When the relative drops off and you awaken from the dream, you realize you were never anything but the absolute, dreaming that you were a person in a world. When that world is about to die, it makes sense to move out of the relative and back into the absolute. Thus, the end of Kali Yuga calls us to the urgency to awaken before that end, in a very nasty way, creates an illusion of destruction. In the absolute, there is no time, and so no world ends, because none has been created. So Ramana says, since past and future have never been without the present, to know the eternal now is to know the truth. Are you living in the eternal now, or are you living in Chronos, time, which is the illusion? One awakens from that illusion by leaving Chronos time for Kairos time, which is the awareness of where the chronological process is leading, but it is linked to the absolute changelessness and is therefore able to leave the plane of time, which is the periphery of consciousness, and re-enter the center where the God Self abides. So, the changeless infinite self transcends time and space, which are relative to the body and the mind. The sage who has realized the self transcends both free will and destiny, with which only the ignorant are concerned. Now, why is a sage not concerned with the question of whether we have free will or everything is determined by destiny? Because the self is not in Chronos time, where destiny seems to be located. But the self that is eternal has no destiny because it is not in time. It is always already liberated. You avoid having a destiny by being in the original state of the timeless self, which has no origin and no end. And that is the freedom of the will to be liberated from the illusion of the destiny determined by time. To the ignorant, the I is the self with a small s that's limited to the body, that can only at best manage the body's affairs, but has no clue how to deal with the larger phenomenal plane in which it feels helpless and victimized and confused. So to the wise, the real I is the infinite self, not the conditioned self created by adaptation to the illusion through the acceptance of a name and a form, but remaining free in the formless infinite awareness that is untouched by the illusion, but abides always on the lotus throne of absolute, luminous, blissful awareness. The ego is really a ghost with no form of its own, but it feeds on any form that it holds, which when sought for takes to flight. So there's an illusion that you are the body if you are in the ego consciousness. It's a given. But if you actually explore the nature of your consciousness, you will see that it has no connection to the body whatever. That's why people have to go to doctors to find out what's wrong with their body. They have no contact with the body. Of course, the doctor doesn't know either, but they'll give you some pills to give you another problem to cover over the one you went for, but they won't solve it because the body itself is a projection of the mind. And you can only resolve the body's problems by withdrawing the projection of identification from it. so that you're no longer a ghost in the machine, but you dissolve the ghost in the holiness of the light, and the machine then works in accord with the infinite self's wisdom. So, since with the rise of the ego, all else rises, and with its subsidence, all else subsides, to destroy the ego through self-enquiry is alone true renunciation. To renounce the world, to renounce suffering, to renounce victimization and trauma, one must renounce the ego, because it's the ego that brought it all about due to its karmic entanglement with its own illusory projections. So the self-conscious being of I-lessness, I-lessness in the sense of no concept of an I, no image of an I, but presence, emptiness, the self-aware being that is eyeless, is that which is one's true state, realized by destroying the ego through self-enquiry. So the ego is destroyed only in the sense that there is a realization that it never was, but was only a dream or a nightmare in the mind that had falsely identified with its dream field. When you awaken from the dream that you are the body, then you are free from all the conditionings of the mind, and therefore from the suffering that is projected as being caused by the world or the body. But because all suffering is really mental, it is only by destroying the mind and its psychological tendency to produce suffering that liberation is achieved. But you can only achieve it when you have resolved the question of who am I? And when you know you are the uncreated awareness that is disembodied, but is not ghostly because you are non-local, you are non-identified as anything, either gross or subtle, then you transcend the phenomenal plane of Maya and you realize the freedom that is your original state, that is the only true reality. But this is absolute knowledge, and you must choose the absolute over the relative in order to be free. May you have the wisdom, the courage, the perseverance, the faith, and the love that is required to release yourself from the plane of suffering that is your own creation, and therefore that you have the right and the power to destroy, to transcend, and if you wish, to redream with all of the power of the Almighty Self that you are.